The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You know, I've always done that, Dom. Why did you just notice recently? I've just
noticed it very recently. Happy Monday to you, Rich, working the board, our fair audience. Thank you for tuning in to the political party. What a weekend.
It was chock full of graduation and goodness, Dom. Very busy weekend at the Cootie household and the Salvia household.
And some lunacy from our friends over at the GOP. I mean, the things that these folks are saying, the way they're just crapping the bed everywhere about this conviction from Donald Trump, it really, I'd like to say it's shocking, but it's kind of not. You know, the law and order has kind of devolved into mega Trumpism.
You know, something I've noted after 13 years of doing this show with you, and, you know, we've got to be approaching our 3,000th show.
Wow.
Between now and election day, we're going to hit 3,000. But we used to shadow box, you know, a little bit shadow box before each and every show because, you know, preparing to do battle with you on the airwaves. And now I'm lucky if you throw the horns at me. I get no love whatsoever.
Oh, come on, man. I'm busy. I'm prepping up to the last minute, Curdy. Every second counts.
Oh, if only that were true. Well, we're still going to make the best damn radio show we can, despite it being a Monday. Earl Ingram Jr., our good friend, joining us at 3:30. He'll make it a little brighter up in here. And Dom, today, as mentioned, the Bakwano craziness of the Republican Party, even Dave Zweifel, columnist over at the Cap Times, has taken notice. And specifically, obviously, last week, a big week, as all of you know, last week we had a verdict, 34 times guilty. I just like saying it. And Trump is now a convicted felon in
convicted
New York
felon
State.
Trump is now his official title for all those who want to be proper in addressing the former president. He's not President Trump. He's convicted felon Trump. It just kind of rolls off the tongue.
Well, the interesting part, Tom, is the reaction to the verdict, the Republican Party at large, the MAGA party, Dom, their reaction. And that's what Zweifel took note of. And I think we have as well. GOP reaction to verdict. Pathetic, says the headline at the Cap Times. Yeah, that's extremely. What caught my attention, Dom.
Pathetic?
Yes. Apparently, it isn't enough for Donald Trump's cultist to declare that an American election was crooked and stolen from the man they worship as an idol. Now the American judicial system, in a trial by jury is rigged too. And who is at the forefront of yet another attack on the American institution that has been the country's bedrock since the days of its founding? None other than two brazenly anti-democratic U.S. representatives, the 7th District's Tom Tiffany and the 5th's Scotty Fitzgerald. Couple of Wisconsin boys, Tom. As soon as the New York jury that heard the evidence in Donald Trump's criminal trial announced its verdict Thursday afternoon, Tiffany and Fitzgerald launched an attack on the 12 men and women who spent the last 3 weeks hearing the evidence. It's closer to 5 weeks, Dave. Democratic judge, Democratic prosecutor, Democratic jury.
I'm sorry. I I hate to correct you on the radio. I know you don't like that. Didn't say Democratic judge, not Democratic prosecutor, not Democratic jury. You know how the Republicans do it, man. Democrat judge, Democrat prosecutor, Democrat jury.
Can I get the final sentence on my own?
You do.
This is an embarrassment to our judicial system. According to Tom Tiffany on the Twitter Dom, that the jury was composed of Democrats may have come as news to the jurors themselves. 3 hours after the verdict, Fitzy went further. The one-time Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel had his office issue a press release that read, and I'm quoting the Fitzy press release, "Democrats are so desperate to keep the limelight off President Biden's malfunctioning policy agenda that they've taken lawfare to a new low," said the state's number one Trump toady.
Hey, congratulations, Fitzy.
According to Dave Zweifel, you know, but we agree with the assessment.
I kind of agree, yes.
The verdict delivered in President Trump's, you see how he's still calling him, President Trump's trial today is an absolute sham and based largely on the testimony, air quotes. It was literally testimony. There's no air quotes necessary.
He did stand up. He went forth. He put his hand on the Bible. He swore to tell the truth. And he provided actual, literal testimony. Not like a literal crucifixion, Fitzy. Literally gave testimony. You don't need to quote it.
Largely on the testimony of a convicted liar whose credibility sits about as low as it gets. Yeah, he's down near you, Fitzy. The American people are watching closely.
No, I'm not so sure about that.
And what they see is complete abuse and weaponization of our government against political opponents, Dom.
Come on. Dave Zweifel goes on. One might think that politicians who are sworn to uphold the U.S. Constitution would have at least some respect for the rule of law,
and
particularly for the jurors who served in what had to be a most uncomfortable role that they hadn't sought. Yeah, let's forget about that, man. I mean, it's not like these people chose to be there. As Weefel writes, but the nation's institutions mean nothing to the likes of Tiffany Fitzgerald and the other Trump acolytes who are unwilling to accept the results of our democratic form of government produces. The two Wisconsin lawmakers, it should never be forgotten, joined 147 other Republicans in an attempt to overthrow the results of a presidential election. They were willing to disenfranchise 81 million Americans who decided they wanted Joe Biden as their president. Yes, thank you for saying that, Zweifel.
I can't believe Dave Zweifel still rehashing the old January 6th and the coup. And of course, these two Congress people, 2 days on the job, right? They had just been sworn in.
They won their own elections. They were willing to what? Throw out their own votes? I'm not clear. They both signed the petition asking Vice President Mike Pence to decertify several states' electoral vote counts on January 6th. Fitzgerald had gone so far to arrange space in the state capitol for the state's 10 fake electors to prepare a document that claimed Donald Trump had actually won the state. And let's not forget, Cheese Bro was in there documenting, taking videos and pictures. Curdy, even the insurrection at the capitol that day didn't change their minds. They and others like them have carried on a nearly four-year campaign to convince Americans that their election system is crooked, even though it's been proven again and again that the 2020 election was safe and accurate. Their acquiescence to Trump lies have succeeded in damaging the people's confidence in America's elections. Now the focus is aimed at causing the same damage to our legal system. I mean, yeah, why not? Everything's rigged. As long as Trump's in trouble, everything's rigged. Tiffany and Fitzgerald are far from alone, Zweifel writes. Senator Ron Johnson, of course, sees the verdict as a, quote, travesty of justice. And the state GOP, naturally, is outraged. What's telling is that there's never such outrage when juries routinely find criminal defendants guilty. When they send drug dealers to prison, for instance, the law apparently works just fine. It worked fine here, too, just with another criminal. Dave Zweifel writes over at the Cap Times.
You know, it's interesting. I think it's current video. I saw the wanker Scott Walker said over the weekend, if asked, he would certainly accept the vice presidential role on the Trump ticket. If asked. I believe this is current video. I have not verified the veracity of the video. It might be AI for all you know, Dom, because I'm sure the best minds are putting themselves to work to try and misrepresent the public as to what you Scott know, Walker may be saying to try and be relevant these days.
Do you think the Republicans like Fitzgerald, like Tom Tiffany, and the other 147 that voted to overturn to try to throw out the election, disenfranchise 81 million votes, do you think they're concerned about the, I don't know, the prosecution of Bob Menendez, you know, the Democrat for corruption?
You know,
got a political hit job, or Henry Cuellar, right? The guy from Texas, right? And let's go back way, way back in the time machine. I remember this guy, William Jefferson. He was like a congressman.
He had like 80 grand in his stand-up freezer in the garage.
Also a Democrat. Guy walked into, as an indicted Democrat, walked in and got a standing ovation from his fellow Democrats. So I'm just saying, there are some other folks that have been prosecuted, and apparently, you know, these two that are going on right now with Menendez and Cuellar, you know, okay, do you hear any of them? Tom Cotton or Senator Johnson or Congressman Fitzgerald or Tiffany, are they concerned that the prosecution of Bob Menendez, you know, a guy had gold bars, that guy, is this somehow a political hit job? No, everything else is fine. Just like all the other ballots, you know, their ballots are fine. All the other ones are wrong.
What about Hunter? Because the jury selection started in Hunter's trial today.
And a Trump-appointed judge, huh? Do you see anyone yelling about breaking down the judicial system because of Hunter or these other Democrats? No, because we're not in a cult. They'll have their day in court, just like your guy did. And sometimes you cut a deal and cut your losses. Trump could have done that. He decided not to. He was perhaps not served well by his attorneys. Either way, he'll have an appeal process. But for all you megas just now, not only throw out our electoral system, now you want to throw out the judicial system? Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. I thought you were the back the badge folks.
You know, I once had the opportunity to ask Scott Fitzgerald how many credible accusations of groping women might be a bridge too far, you know, might cross a line where he wouldn't support the old man. And he never really did answer. He got very flush that day. But I would point out 34 felony convictions. Oh, that's not a bridge too far. It makes him like Trump even more. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back. Phone lines open, 844-96-PARTY.
Think you know politics? Again, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Monday to us all. Join us on the lines, talk or text, toll free 844-967-2789.
Dom, I know we both jammed it full. 10 pounds in the proverbial 5-pound bag, if you know what I'm saying. I started the day in CD number 6. I'm not even running for anything. It's like I'm doing the 72 county tour and for no apparent reason. But, you know, I found myself back in the Madison market by 9 o'clock this morning. Started early for me.
Early That's for early you, for man. Me. Yeah, that is super early. You're gonna be tired tonight, man. Good thing you don't have court. You might be sleeping right now.
If I had court, I would be taking a little nappy poo. We'll talk about Trump and his latest statement. You know, be prepared, Dom, because if he gets thrown in jail, it'll be a breaking point for the American people.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get there. 844-967-2789. We got a fine guest joining soon, so we'll take your calls right now. 844-967-2789. Did I mention Earl Ingram, our friend, coming around very, very soon, like 10 minutes. John from Boaz right now, though. Welcome, John. What do you got for us?
Hi, John.
Hi, gentlemen. Treason is a capital offense. The offense of attempting by overt actions to overthrow the government of the state to which the offender owes allegiance. Trump, whatever happened to Rudolph Giuliani and his lawyer? Trump is let's go back in history books, because you both went to college. Did they teach you about a man named Plato? Well, he said three things. Number one, what are the facts? What did he do on January 6th? Number two, the man's character. Now, you guys have been talking about this worthless son of a biscuit for the last 2-3 months on the air. So the man character is bad. The last one is governance. How do you collect your taxes? Do you say a guy's house is worth $3 million and then charge him about $50,000 in taxes? How do you govern the people? Trump did a bad, the first time in 2018, he let the Iranians shoot and give us a black eye by shooting down two container vessels, one oil tanker, and one drone.
John, John, I'm going to slow you down for a minute, my friend. We're going to tie it all together with some relevance. Well, where'd you go, John? I'm just asking you to put a bow on it for us, John, if you can. Think of a nice bow. Hit the text line. It's the same. 844-967-2789. You jumped off. I didn't get rid of him.
Come on,
I've been known
Johnny.
To do that, but I didn't do it this time.
It wasn't this time. It was on. I hate to put words or assume where John was going, but the treason conversation. You know, it's hot. That's a big one, right? And you don't want to throw something like that around all the time. But Donald Trump is charged under the Espionage Act, 31 charges, right? That's the charge under the Espionage Act.
Oh, Eileen Cannon's never going to let that get to trial, but please continue.
Well, I don't know why you think that this is just going to go away. If Donald Trump gets elected, certainly he could potentially.
If he gets elected, it will literally just go away.
And it would go away. But he may not get elected. He probably won't get elected. And that means that these trials will eventually continue. Now, that's the way it is. And when we see the Republicans reacting the way they do over what we have described as technically misdemeanors bound up with other misdemeanors, make them a felony. The least impactful, relevant charge to the degree that, it may have certainly helped get him into the White House. That was a big thing. But generally speaking, bookkeeping errors, bookkeeping of fraud, to cover up an affair to the benefit of your political career at the middle of the peak of a election season, not as bad as hoarding the nation's crown jewels or, engaging in planning, organizing and conspiring to overthrow the government. Those kinds of things. And of course, the 11,780 votes in Fulton County. When you see the reaction of Republicans now. They know what kind of danger, grave danger. Is there any other kind? It's grave danger for Donald Trump. If he gets convicted on 1, 2, or 3 of those other charges, those other issues that are still facing him, he still has a plethora, 31 just on the espionage charge alone. He's going to be doing literally time, hard, bad time. Like, spend the rest of his life in jail time. And all the mega supporters will have lined up behind him in support for the last, 4 years? They've been engaged. And now as it gets worse, as it gets closer, as their leader gets backed into the corner, they get more vitriolic. There's going to be a breaking point. The justice system is rigged. The election system is rigged. The health system is rigged. Everything's rigged against one person in the entire world. If you believe the mega, and that's Donald Trump, of course, that makes zero sense.
Well, the guy's clearly got no luck. He bankrupted 3 casinos. Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine friend of ours joining next. He is a broadcaster, a colleague, on the airwaves. He is Earl Ingram Jr. You can hear him on the WAUK 540 AM, the Beast of the East. Going out weekday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, you're wearing a shirt? Look at Dom wearing the colors. Earl joins us next. And be like Earl. You can always join the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We take most comers at 844-967-2789. We do ask that, you know, you make a point in a timely fashion. Or just bail randomly.
I mean, timely is relative, man.
No, it's not. Time is a specific incremental thing. I'm looking at a clock. I got it in my gut. Like, if we're not moving it, you know, if we're not keeping this show moving, if we're not moving the Devil's Advocates forward, you know, the clock starts ticking in my head. I say, oh, we got to make a point here. Usually I got to prompt you, though, Dom. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Earl, we'll see if he makes any points. Usually, they're excellent.
Hey, what's up now? Brother, what's up? This is a big party, man.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Dom, we're about to be joined by a fine guest, a friend of ours, a colleague in broadcast. I've known Earl for 7 years now, seven years plus. I know, it's starting to feel like a long time. Let's have him join us right now, you know, before he gets impatient. Earl Ingram, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, Earl.
Hey guys, it's really good always, man, to get a chance to share a platform with both you guys.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, man.
Well, Earl, I wanted to ask your opinion. There is a new rollout by the Biden-Harris campaign, Blacks for Biden, effectively. And my understanding is you were there. What was your impression of the rollout?
Well, I mean, I had known about it prior because the national chairperson who is responsible for this rollout across the nation. I had her on my show last week. And so I was, you know, aware that this campaign was coming. I didn't know that it was coming to Milwaukee so soon. She was on the day after I had her on. I got a call and asked if I would be willing to come and stand with Congresswoman Gwen Moore and Mayor Cavalier Johnson, and State Representative Latonya Johnson. So got an opportunity to do that on last Friday after my show.
Well, that's excellent, Earl. And you got promised a soon interview with Joe Biden, and no one made a promise like that to Dom and I.
Right, man.
Well, so I would think that the only reason, I shouldn't say that, but one of the reasons why they promised me an opportunity to have a couple minutes with the mayor, I mean, with the president, is because two other black talk shows in our city have already had that opportunity. And it is clear that the Biden campaign understands that having the black community in Milwaukee stand up and support him is going to be critically important. They don't believe that they can afford to lose the black vote in Milwaukee and still maintain Biden as the president of the United States.
Folks, he's Earl Ingram. He's a host on WAUK 540 AM. You can hear him in the Milwaukee area each morning, 8 to 10 AM. Earl, and of course, you can use the app, the Civic Media app. You can always listen to Earl. Earl, 2016, post-election, I think that's about the time frame, January-ish, you and I met. And Earl, part of our collective bemoanment was the fact that Hillary Clinton did not turn out the black vote sufficiently in Milwaukee in 2016. And in no small part, that's why Trump won this state by like 23,000 votes. Earl, we've been kind of watching a slow motion car wreck ever since. It's my impression the Biden campaign really hasn't done any any better at motivating black voters than Hillary did.
Well, you know, I would say this. A couple weeks back, Vice President Kamala Harris was in town. I was invited to a gathering.
Again, Dom and I were not invited to this gathering, girl.
Well, it was, to be quite frank with you, it was about this plan that they have across the nation to organize black voters. And let me tell you why, guys. My parents are gone. Their generation is gone, and our grandparents are gone. And my parents and my grandparents voted overwhelmingly for Democrats. They were voters that they could count on, always. It didn't matter who was running, but blacks from those two generations always voted Democrat. And today, those people are gone. And there is a younger demographic that the Democrats are not going to be able to count on. And gratefully, they finally realized that, and they're trying to mobilize. And as I said to them, I spoke to someone from the Nation last week who interviewed me, and I said to them, you know, you guys should be focusing on 18 to 25-year-olds and who don't see any reason to vote. And to me, you know, my generation is going to vote anyway, and they're going to vote for Democrats, and they're going to vote for Joe Biden. But it's that 18 to 25-year-old group that they need to be doing their work on to get them to understand the importance of why Joe Biden should be the president.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Earl Ingram, Jr., host of the Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Network. Find it on the app as well. Earl, what is it, in your opinion, of your parents and your grandparents' generation about their experience and their existence and the way they lived and their tendency, as you know, to vote for the Democratic Party versus the younger kids today? What do you think is to be perhaps more ambivalent about it, or whether or not in question whether or not the system even works, or both for Republicans or independents? What do you think the transition, the changes, the difference are?
Well, there's an easy answer to that. John F. Kennedy and President Lyndon Baines Johnson, and the fact that they were at the helm of changing the dynamic of race in this nation. And so because it was during that time that they understood the importance of what the Democratic Party attempted to do and was very instrumental in doing, they felt the kinship with the Democratic Party, which was fighting to change during the civil rights struggle, the reality for their lives, in which they were able to do that because they made it possible for my grandparents and my parents to live the American dream. Today, young people and people of color can't live the American dream. And so they don't see any way possible that's something that they can, be able to do on their own, have a job, and be able to raise a family and send their kids to college or go on a vacation or save a couple dollars. So that's the difference, Don.
And then so the Biden administration, of course, has to address that, and outreach, of course, to the community helps. But what about policies? I mean, the Dems will say, and the Republicans will counter, their economy is good, the economy is bad, people's personal economics may be different than, GDP or macroeconomics, Earl, but how in your mind do you think, as generally the economy is doing pretty good, aside from the inflation, what else could the Biden administration do, and how do they communicate their successes in your mind efficiently, Earl?
Well, the economy is doing great if you have stocks. The Dow is at over 40,000. And so that doesn't transfer to the average everyday Joe. The average everyday Joe who doesn't see any improvement, and many of these young people that we're talking about now, people must understand, they were led to believe that if they voted for Barack Obama, their lives would change. Many of them voted for the first time in their lives for Barack Obama, and their life did not change. And so it's hard to be able to get them now to see the correlation between voting and the change in their lives. They're living horrible, in horrible conditions. And it's not just, you know, the average black. It's poor whites and everybody who is having a tough time navigating the cost of just trying to survive in today's world.
Earl Ingram, our good friend. Earl, let me ask you, Trump verdict, 34 guilties. Is that the talk of the black community in Milwaukee? I mean, it certainly was the talk of the MSNBC crowd that I hang with. But what was your impression? Did those 34 guilties, I mean, were they registering in your part of Milwaukee?
Did not change anything from the perspective of whether or not 18 to 25-year-olds are going to vote for Joe Biden.
Does it give him more street cred in Trump? Earl, does Trump, as he now claims, have more street cred with black youth because he's been prosecuted?
Well, what does Trump know about black youth? And the people who claim to say that makes some difference have no concept at all, no clue at all about what's going on in the minds of black youth. So many black youth are in such a horrible condition that they are killing one another. And it is a killing field in urban centers around the nation because young blacks who don't feel like there's anything worth them living for, we were in a better condition during slavery than we are today because at least blacks weren't killing one another. But blacks are killing one another at record paces because they don't feel like they can be a part of this society. And so, no, they don't see any of these things changing the reality of what they are faced with.
But Earl, the alternative, of course, to voting for Donald Trump, to Joe Biden would be to vote for Donald Trump. And I've seen recent polling, although I suspect it's all very small sample stuff, Earl. Do you hear any sentiment whatsoever, kids, friends, anybody in the black community that you know, Earl, that says, I'm going to give Trump a try this time?
No, absolutely not. That is a fabrication at the highest level. And so just because they say that doesn't make it true. And as a person who, you know, is in the community and engaged in my community, I haven't heard anybody say that. So they can wish upon a star, you know, all they want to. That's not factual. That's not truthful. Blacks aren't going to be voting for Donald Trump overwhelmingly. What has he done to make black people believe outside of saying, well, I'm going to sell, you know, some tennis shoes because, you know, black people are going to get excited about me manufacturing and selling tennis shoes because, you know, they like tennis shoes. Or the fact that he says, well, they're going to love my mugshot. I mean, these are condescending things that he says that he somehow believes that black people don't comprehend the coded messages behind what he's saying.
Earl Ingram, Jr., just a few more minutes left, my friend. I want to circle back a little bit to your comment about Barack Obama, that the expectations were that their lives were changed and they didn't. And of course, I can understand the sentiment, but what about the level of expectations? Who set those expectations, Earl? I mean, does a president, and you mentioned some former presidents from that influenced and shaped policy from your parents and your grandparents, but do they have that kind of, you know, juice now? Is the heavy lifting done? Who sets the expectations for the voters?
Well, you know, I would say this to you, Dominic. One thing that the Biden campaign has done that Hillary Clinton didn't do, as Crute said, and he was 100% correct, is they've come into the community and they've set the state Democratic office in the city of Milwaukee, in the black community. And so they are making these efforts. They are making these overtures. They've got Kamala Harris moving in and out. They've connected with the Congresswoman Moore and others to mobilize and organize, and they brought dollars into the community and their organizations like, you know, Greg Lewis and Souls to the Polls and others who are mobilizing inside of the community to do just what it is we're talking about, reach those people that people outside of this community could never reach because they don't know who they are.
Well, that's why
and
they...
So they've at least... Yeah, go ahead, Creedy.
Well, I was going to say that's why they go on the Earl Ingram show.
Well, you know, I'm excited about the fact that I've been promised to get many national spokespeople over the coming months and have them on the air. But, you know, Creedy, all of these things are happening because, you know, we finally have vehicles, and that's thanks to you and what you were able to create to at least get messages out that we weren't able to do before. So I'm really comfortable, not because somebody's going to be calling my show. I'm comfortable because I see an apparatus being put in place that's going to address the issues and the people who they need to be getting a hold to.
Earl, always appreciate you coming around, my friend. More Devil's Advocates. Don't forget.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
You are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the line. Talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dom, always great to have our pal Earl Ingram come round. Don't forget the Earl Ingram show on WAUK 540 AM, the Beast of the East. You can feel him. And hear them between 8 and 10. You know, you got to turn up the woofers. If you turn them up right, you can feel them. Appreciate you coming around, Earl. Something I didn't know. I went to graduation for my youngest son. Again, congratulations, Karsten. I hope he had a wonderful day. Big class. Middleton High School, 560-ish kids. It took hours just to do the names. Like, I'm surprised they let anybody speak. But I'm talking to my mother-in-law. She's there, and great to see you, Becky. But my mother-in-law tells me, as we're sitting at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, the Coliseum, right? She said, well, I've seen a few concerts here, including Ozzy Osbourne.
Nice.
If you'd have given me a million guesses for $1 million, I never would have won picking Grandma Becky for an Ozzy Osbourne.
Well,
no,
come on, man.
Never. Ever.
Now too. Was it with Black Sabbath or Ozzy on his own?
You know, I was so stunned I didn't ask proper follow-up questions, Tom. Becky, if you're listening.
Very important, man.
844-967-2789. She's now in her retirement. You better be listening, Grandma. 844-96-PARTY.
It was the Blizzard of Oz tour. That was a good one.
You think so?
1980? That sounds about right.
80? I would have guessed sooner than that. Like 70, 76.
Well, 70s, that would have been maybe back in the Black Sabbath days.
Oh, then. Well, yeah. She claimed she saw Ozzy Osbourne. Well, now, I didn't make her show me the ticket stub. We were at a graduation and all. You know, to have credibility in this conversation, Grandma, you're going to have to provide the receipts.
I don't believe it.
Well, you know, sadly, I had to go through some of the concerts I had seen there. And it included Kid Rock with you. We rolled up like Spicoli in the black limo that day, if I recall. We saw Green Day at the Alliant Energy Center, both you and I and our respective spouses. And that was like, they closed the beer down at like 8 o'clock. I was quite disappointed. Like one beer. And that's not sustaining for me at a full concert venue. So I recall the lack of beer more than the actual performance of the band that night. But I've seen some others. I saw John Mayer there on Valentine's Day, when he was playing with Jessica Simpson, when he was dating Jessica Simpson. And I also saw the, what's the Christmas music rock band? Not the Electric Light Orchestra, but the
Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yes, thank you, Rich. Thank you, Rich. Yeah. So I take Liza and Kelsey, our eldest, when she was just a little girl, like 8, 9 years old. I take them to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And we, you know, had pretty good seats. We're down near the floor. And the band, though, you know, about two-thirds of the arena away. But they had, like, pyrotechnics going off. Both Kelsey and Liza fell asleep during the pyrotechnics. How do you do that? I saw Creed in concert once, pre-marriage. This was, like, 25 years ago.
At the Coliseum?
No, saw Creed at the old Bradley Center, I want to say. And that was probably the most pyrotechnic-filled concert I've ever seen. You know, I'm glad I wasn't at that one Great White show, but I'm just saying.
It was a little smaller venue.
I was a little nervous that Creed was just like lighting it up with big...
Going to blow it up, yeah.
Yeah, they were going to burn it down.
The Alliant Energy Center. So I think one memorable show I did there, I was working security at the time, you know, and we were in college. They came down and it was
for what, the Zor Shrine Circus?
RTM, man. Queensryche was in town. They did two shows. I did security on both shows, and they were recording of Operation Video Crime, which was like the, you know, live recorded version of their Operation Mind Crime
at the album. Dean County Coliseum. The Alliant Energy. Yes. And you.
And then they did a show there, and then they did a show up in La Crosse, and that is RTM. And I was with like Sola and Lauscher. Like, so I did security with those guys. Like we did the Guns N' Roses when they came out with User Illusion.
Now, John Lauscher had a cup of coffee with the Green Bay Packers, and John Marisola was an All-American college linebacker.
Yeah. So when I was doing security with these cats, you know, one on each side of me, and at the Guns N' Roses concert, no one really messed with me. But it was, we were hauling dudes out left and right. It got to be a little much.
Oh, were we?
We were. I'd tap them out and they'd haul them up.
Get that guy, Sola.
Well, you know, because no one likes to get hit with sod. And once the sod started flying and it came our way, then we hauled some dudes out. But yes, I've been to Alliant Energy Center a few times. I saw two of there.
The Sola boys both go into Penn State on a full ride.
I saw that.
And I see the one son has made the U.S. Olympic trials. Yeah, it's going awesome, to like the awesome under 21 some championship this weekend.
Yeah. Congratulations.
And Sola, still a scary looking guy. He used to have a mohawk and he would shave from like his neck ring, like the t-shirt, up to the top of his head. You know, that part would be bald. But he had that bristly hair and, you know, he had the love frog, as he liked to call himself. Very furry guy.
I thought I was a hairy guy, man, until I met that cat.
Now, you know, my friend Runkle's like that in the front, but he's only got the one-sided carpet. But I'm pretty sure Sola...
The Austin Powers side doesn't have the full rug both sides.
I'm pretty sure Sola was fully carpeted. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates, have the most important political conversations of the day. Trump says we're reaching a breaking point. Talking about Sola's body hair.